Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Infinite Rabbit Hole. I'm your host, Jeremy, and today we're going to go back in time and do things the old way and talk to everybody like a podcast and not just a documentary, which is pretty cool. I know a lot of you guys are missing this, and a lot of you guys don't. Oh well, this is what you get. Without further ado, let's go ahead and bring the cast in. Let's start with my co-creator, Jacob.
That's me.
Sir, that Howdy. Facial hair, phenomenal.
Not up close. It's very airy. It looks like spider legs all over my face. But I appreciate it. In the shadows, it looks great. Yes. What's up, dude? I smell like a campfire. I've been making maple syrup all weekend long and for a long time today. So I smell like smoke and syrup. It is nice. Probably the butt end of sugaring season because of the weird temperature fluctuations. But yeah, we got some trees tapped out on our new property and just trying it out for the first time.
Well, you heard that, everybody. Infinite Rabbit Hole maple syrup coming to grocery stores nowhere.
You know, my dad just said, my dad just asked me through text if I can find bottles that are shaped like Bigfoot. And I was like, gosh, I wish. That would be awesome.
How cool would that be?
Right,
we gotta be able to do it. That would be pretty sweet.
Find a custom glass blower.
That's sweet. Yeah, I just been creating my cleaning my garage all day. We'll get into that later. Let's go ahead and bring the next one. Since he's wearing a hat like me, Jeffrey, what's up, man?
Yo, what's up, bro?
The one guy I was expecting not to listen to any of the episodes actually listened to all of them.
To be fair, I binged all of them today.
So would it take you like 6 hours? That's crazy. It
took my whole work day pretty much, but yeah, that's what we did today. So it's all fresh in my mind, but in reality, I was driving for half of that, so I don't know how much of that actually stuck, but we'll see.
Well, yeah, but how you been, man? How's Shadow Band?
Shadow Band's dead.
What?
Yeah, it's been dead since like October.
Fancy little neon sign and everything, man.
Yep, still got the sign. The sign's not dead. You know, but it's hard, bro. I'm running a business now. I'm working full time. I got a girlfriend. It's like, I don't have time for, I got a PlayStation 5, bro. Like how am I supposed to do a podcast?
Man, you made me get that Helldivers game and you have yet to bring freedom and democracy to those alien scumbags a single time with
you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you always get on after I get off, man. I'm an early bird. You know this, you know, my bedtime like 7 PM. Come on.
Yeah, you're old.
Well, the one person in the group who doesn't have a PS5 co-hosting today is CJ. CJ, how are you?
I'm all right.
That didn't make one of sense. These things is not like the other. One of these things is CJ.
Right.
You don't have a beard, and you don't have a PlayStation 5.
Correct.
Freaking nerd.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Nerd.
Yep.
You got blue eyes. You look like you got blue eyes. You got blue eyes?
One of them's blue, one of them's green, and I have a brown spot in one of them.
Oh, you're one of them weirdos? So you're a witch, huh?
That explains a lot.
Bet the ladies love that.
They do. Lefty? It is my one attractive feature.
Wait, you got a nice voice on you. Face for radio for sure, but a nice voice.
Good stuff. Good stuff. See?
Says the guy with a white van in his driveway.
Who?
Yeah.
You. Yeah, you. Facial hair.
Oh. Are you comparing me to a pedo or the Unabomber?
You do look like a homeless guy. I'm not going to lie. I've been saying this.
That's why I changed my name on here to Hobo Jake.
Oh, good stuff. All right. Let's jump into like the big news. The big news for Infinite Rabbit Hole. We talking
about the thing.
We're talking about the thing. We have to talk about the thing. The thing is that Infinite Rabbit Hole is going to be making its first in-person appearance at a UFO festival called UFO Days in Elmwood, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
We will be there all 3 days. Believe it's the 26th, 27th, and 28th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, July. So if you are in the area, come by and say hello to myself, Jacob, and Jeffrey.
That's right.
Yeah.
I got the flight. I'm terrified of flying, but I'm doing it for you guys.
He said he wanted to come up and meet some travelers. That's what he wanted to do.
Yep. We're going to have a booth. We're going to do some interviews. I don't know what else. Jeremy wants to do a presentation. We'll see.
Yeah, shit is going to be empty the whole day. Jeremy's going to bitch later.
Oh, it's going to be great.
It's going to be fucking
presentation would be sick. Like, I keep thinking about the presentation thing. And if that goes through, like, I need a Jeff Fernandez TED Talk. Like, that's what I need in my life.
Younger Dryas 2.0.
No. We're pulling up patents. We're going deep on documents. I'm going to ruin everybody Bring who it. Thinks they're getting abducted by aliens. They're going to hate me by the end of the weekend.
Oh, you're going to whip out the TR-3B patent and be like,
they're going to be like,
you guys are
a government shill.
I'll bring my shill hat for you.
Judging by the way they react to our episodes, you guys are going to be at this Infinite Rabbit Hole booth and people are just going to come up like, oh, hey, it's Shadowbin. Hey. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Pretty much.
Thanks. I know a couple locals here that have already told me that they will be at the festival. So they're looking forward to seeing us.
Nice.
But yeah, so the plan is, everybody, that we're going to start here at UFO Days and possibly move on to other things somewhere down the road. So
I want to visit all the haunted things here as someone who doesn't believe in any of that stuff and record every interaction I get, which will probably be a bunch of nothing, and throw it up on YouTube. I decided that on my drive through to Minnesota today. I was just like, that's something I should do.
Do you want me to send you all my ghost hunting gear?
Oh, dude, do it.
Yeah, so little known fact, I actually used to have a ghost hunting team. I have FLIR thermal cameras, I have EMF, EVP recorders, all kinds of stuff.
Dude, I will take all that stuff, I will use it, and I'll deny every single piece of evidence I get. Like, it's static. It's like, die, and I'm like, static.
Jake like gets like an EVP. It's like, I will swallow your soul, and he's like, nope, that wasn't English.
Static. Yeah, interference.
But yeah, so UFO Days, not much to say there. We still have to create our lineup and what we're doing. So if you are planning on going, or if you're going to be in the area and you guys want to hear a specific thing, let us know. Maybe we can make it happen.
You'd be fucked up if I went there as like a patron of the festival and just like walk past you guys behind the booth.
Wouldn't you even recognize you in person?
It's like me and my kid, I'm eating a corn dog. I'm like, oh, hey, Jeremy. Just like keep it moving.
They better have corn dogs there.
It's the, one member of Infinite Rabbit Hole that will not be there is going to be CJ. He says he does not care.
Because he hates us.
That was correct, actually. That was almost a quote.
Yeah, it was a quote.
I believe what I said was I don't give a fuck.
It is what it is. It is what it is. But we got Jeffrey to come up, so that's cool. There'll be three of the four hosts of the Infinite Rabbit Hole there for you guys. Please, if you guys are there, come hit us up and yeah, talk to us. Let us know.
I'll send Andrew up there to take my spot for me.
There you go. I'll take Andrew.
Only if he brings that squeaky ass chair.
All right. So this is the quarter one 2024 wrap up episode. So this is kind of be the standard every 3 months. We're going to get together and talk about the episodes that came out to kind of give you guys the old feel of how the episodes used to run, where we used to do the documentaries and the commentary and all our thoughts and ideas and whatnot. But we're just going to put them all into one episode for you guys. And that's this one. So first on the docket, everybody, is Slender Man. Does anybody have anything to first start off about Slender Man?
Dude, that episode was such a bummer.
The fuck you for not letting me be on that episode with you, because you got to do a solo documentary. I love Slender Man.
We had the whole thing recorded with Kenzar, too. It was 3 hours yep. long, and then Jeremy's just like, oh, shoot, all the audio went through my webcam and not my microphone, and we scrapped the entire episode. It sucked. Yep. It was such a good episode, too. We were, like, shocked with how horrible those kids were stabbing their friend to death, or trying to, at least.
Yeah, it was... That was definitely my fuck up, guys. Everyone listening, I did have a retro episode in mind when I did that, because it was technically supposed to be the Halloween urban legend episode. And as we know, things didn't work out. We ended up taking a few months off there at the end of 2023. So it got moved mostly because of that fuck up, which was kind of the...
He was so mad. He was like, that's it. We're taking a break.
Yeah, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, man. I just couldn't do it. I was like, all right, that's it. Need to stop doing all these mental errors now and really giving up on quality. Speaking of quality, I got to fix that Shag Harbor one. It's absolutely terrible. But anyways...
You didn't bring up the movie Slender at all, which is like probably the best motion picture about Slender Man. Well, it's like a fictional story, but it's probably the best movie made involving Slender Man. You didn't even bring it up.
No, I didn't, but I did bring up, forgive me, it's been a long time since I recorded this and listened to this episode. I want to say the Marvel Hornets, right? Marvel Hornets.
You brought up the Marvel Hornets for all of 30 seconds, even though they were the ones that perpetuated the entire Slender Man myth after the creepypasta.
Yeah, and I mean, come on, man. That episode was long.
I have all the Marble Hornets episodes on DVD box set that I bought from them.
Well, that's great, man. That's good.
I'm proud. Wanted to be on the episode. You didn't let me.
Well,
that's right.
You know, Things happen.
Can't have another expert on the episode. Come on, dude.
No, I'm pretty sure I wanted you on the episode. You said no.
No, or I you had begged something. To be on that episode. I will find the chat.
I don't.
I was like, I want to do it. I want to do it.
Prove it.
I don't recall that. I recall you saying,
that's a funny thing.
I know more about Slender Man than you do. Thus, I don't want to be on it.
I do remember you saying that you knew more than I did. And I was like, well, whatever. I just read a book. So there. Anyways.
Where's the search function in this damn chat?
Jeffrey?
So honestly, again, I was working and driving, binge listening to all of the episodes for the season. So a lot of it didn't really stick, but what it makes me think of, and I think I may have told this, I'll tell you guys the short story version, but I think I told you guys that, did I ever tell you about my sleep paralysis? My one time I had sleep paralysis ever in my life.
The time where you woke up and your butt was hurting?
No, where I had this dream. Oh, and this is all... And for whatever reason, it just made me think of this. You know, I had this dream and it was more of a nightmare. And in this nightmare, there was banging on a door, right? And I go to this door and I open the door and a bunch of kids run out and they're like, oh, he's there. He's chasing me, whatever they're saying. It's just some variation of that. And as I look back through the doorway, there was this tall, skinny being charging full sprint at me. And as I shut the door, it bursts through the door and stands over me. And it's probably 7-8 feet tall, hunched down in my face. And all, I just remember having the thoughts of like, what are you doing in here? Like, why are the kids in here? All this. And I wake up and I'm clearly awake. And at the same time, like the blanket is being tugged on my foot on my bed, but I can't move. And then like a few seconds later, I wake up and there's nothing there.
That's nuts, dude. No, I never heard that.
That's
never told that on the show. Oh, okay. No. Well, yeah, that's what it just made me think of. So,
jeez.
Wait, was that a nightmare or sleep paralysis? Because that was like,
it was both. On. It was nightmare. And I woke up again. And it's like when I woke up the first time, I was clearly awake. Like everything was normal in my room, except for something was tugging on my blanket. And then I woke up again in the same position and I was able to move. Like, it's
okay.
Weird.
I was gonna say, I had sleep paralysis a couple of times, but I never like full on visual hallucinations.
Yeah, it was intense.
Dude, yeah, I've had a dream within a dream within a dream like that, like dream inception before. It's crazy.
But that was probably the Slender Man, bro.
It probably was.
Anyways, no, definitely some brutal shit, especially when it came to the real life implications that Slender Man ended up having on not just the girls. Right.
The girl that did the murder, she's supposed to get out of jail soon, isn't she? If not already.
My audio is okay.
Yeah, you're fine.
You're good.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, the real life implications. The thing that really, I don't know, it was kind of unnerving to do the research on it. And I've since been asked to do by three different people to do a in-depth dive into, this would be our first true crimes episode, I guess you would say, into the Slender Man court case and the entire trial, and kind of dive into more of the psychology behind the two girls. I don't know if I'm going to do that. Not 100% sure. And if this show ever does dive into true crime, that'd probably be one of the paths we would exercise. But you know, if you're listening to this and you guys, you know, feel like that's a thing you guys do want to hear, let me know. But I mean, other than that, that attempted mass shooting was intense. I looked up some news reports from that, and just to know how bad that could have got was pretty crazy.
Jeff's bored with the conversation already. He's playing guitar now.
Well, this is
my brain going.
This is probably the topic that he does not care about when it comes to this entire lineup.
But yeah, I had a dream like Jeff's literally like last night. Except it was more along the lines of I had maple syrup to boil and there was snow all over the ground. But it was pretty close. Same intensity.
Yeah. Sounds like a fetish dream. It was about maple syrup.
Yeah. Well, I've been making maple syrup all weekend.
Your sleep paralysis demons pour maple syrup on you. They lick it off your body slowly.
Hey, we're not going to get into my relationship with my sleep paralysis demons, all right? That's behind closed doors. The thing was that the dream and the feeling was the same, all right?
the girls who did the murder, I think, I can't remember the girl's name. I think she's due to get out of jail, like, if not already soon.
Good for her. Paid her.
Well, she was up for
society.
Parole, and she like turned herself away from parole, saying like she wasn't like mentally capable of being in the world or something like that.
Yeah, I remember doing something or saying something about that coming up soon. The Morgan Geyser and Anissa Weir. I'm not sure which one is the one that's up for parole soon or the one that's going to be getting out. But when we did the recording, they were pretty close to getting that.
Yeah, so I would assume one of them was like extra close to being like, yeah. If not, she's already getting out.
Good possibility of it. Did not look into that before we.
What do you want to show up at her parole hearing and be like, I say no. She'll kill again or attempt to anyway.
No. That's a crazy bitch. Like, That's one of those ones you deny even knowing who she is. You're like, I don't know that person.
Yeah, no, this is some definitely fucked up shit. Anything else about Slender Man, y'all?
I didn't listen to the episode again because I was so distraught about us bombing the first one. I mean, I already knew all the information and stuff, but yeah, it was pretty wild. Like, I really wish that episode had been good because my reactions were very genuine. I knew of Slender Man and just like, I guess it's like an urban legend type thing and tall being in a suit or something like that, right? And then like Morph Suits has a Slender Man, you know, outfit with like long fingers and stuff like that. That was about it. That was the extent of it. I didn't know that people followed this urban legend to the extent of like attempting murder and stuff like that. Like so it really blew my mind.
Yeah.
Did any of you guys ever play the video game where you run away from Slender Man?
No. I've seen it though. I've seen people, the gameplay on YouTube.
It's very good. It's very scary when you're the one playing it. Cause like when you're watching it, you're like, this isn't bad. And then you play it and like your anxiety gets going.
Isn't it like a VR thing too?
I don't think so. When I played it, it was just like on the computer.
Maybe there's another VR version of that, but yeah.
Well, if you guys listen to our episodes on Spotify, you can leave a response to how you felt about the episode. We did get a response from Lalisha Marr. She said gas. I had to ask the panel what that meant. And apparently
good
that means
it's good stuff.
Good as shit is what I'm being told. And then I also double checked that with my 12-year-old. Yeah. I also double checked that with my 12-year-old. And again, she said good as shit. She didn't say it like that, but she told me, yes, that is correct. So I was like, okay, good.
He said, honey, what is gas? She said, good as shit. You're grounded.
But thank you.
No, knowing Jeremy, he'd be like, what is that? Good as shit. Word. And then he went back to reading his book about his next subject.
That's more or less probably what would have happened. Yeah.
Even Jace dropped an F-bomb the other day and Jeremy's like, what did you just say? What did you just effing say? There's not going to be any effing cussing in this house, you little S. You
know? No, he didn't actually say it. He said something similar to it and I kind of went along with it. And
yeah, it was
like, no, I didn't say it.
He's like, yeah, I didn't say that.
I'm telling your mother.
Yeah,
I
have to actually watch the music I listen to in my car now because me and my son were at Wawa the other day and I didn't really realize what was playing on the radio. And we're standing in the Wawa and he goes, everyone else is an asshole. Really loud.
Nice.
Rough.
I was
That's
very
a phenomenal.
Red. I was like, right, well, no more real big fish for you.
Let's let's move on. The news episode about aliens in the mall.
Whatever happened with that? It just died.
Yeah, dead. D-E-D. Dead.
That means Jeff real. Said it's a movie trailer and everybody gave up.
We called them out on it, man. They were like, fuck.
I mean, technically, we don't know yet because the Stranger Things season trailer hasn't came out yet. So we don't know.
Or it was real. It was just buried super quickly, which means it was probably real.
How this thing would happen.
A couple weeks after it, a couple of my friends were on Instagram talking about it that live in Florida, and they were like, there were a lot of cop cars, and it was dumb, and then it was done, and nobody cares anymore.
Well,
I mean, same thing with the Mexican aliens. Those aliens in Mexico and stuff like that?
The paper
mache
ones.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're complete garbage, but huge news for a week and a half, and then nothing else. No one cares.
Well, that's as far from my perspective, right, as the one who's usually the most skeptical about the alien stuff hitting any type of mainstream news, right, is that it's a distraction from something else. And the fact that it came and went and it's just gone to the abyss pretty much confirms that. I don't know if anybody's looked into what happened at that same time that none of us
it's
are
like
talking
Epstein
about.
Stuff.
Something, yeah. Whatever it is, something went down. But I can confirm being 3 hours away from Miami that there was not, in fact, giant aliens in the mall because the hordes of panicked people have not come here yet. Right. They would have to pass me in order to get out of Florida, and the traffic is normal. So,
yeah. Yeah, because if they attacked a mall in Miami, they wouldn't attack anywhere else.
Well, you know, I would expect to see them in NASA, which I literally have my eyes on all the time. You guys can confirm this.
That is very true.
Fish across the river from NASA.
He sends his videos all the time of him fishing, and then he'll zoom in on NASA. Yeah.
Here's the launch station. It's awesome.
My man is like that old lady neighbor who's always peeking through her blinds at the neighbors across the street.
Looking at the rocket launch pad, you're like, they're up to something. I just know it. I'm going to call the cops on them.
There's really no bait on my line. I'm just standing out there with a fishing pole watching NASA. Did I tell you guys the one where the helicopter flew right over my head while I was out there?
No.
Like, they were like, really, hey, there's close. That guy from the real Shadow Band podcast, and not that fake one.
Yeah, dude. No, they would attack NASA, I'm sure. So
because they tried to probe his brain, and he had that silver lined beanie on, and they were like, why can't we get in? Let's go check him out.
No, their facial recognition picked him up, and they were like, we know who that is.
Yeah. Maybe I have seen the aliens, but I'm sure we'll get into that with the next section here.
He was like, all four of them, those three guys are on a list. Jeff's on three. We need to go watch him.
So anyways, let's move on. Let's get to the response on Spotify. We had one response from somebody called Better Name. They said, great, !!
Oh, good.
Yeah,
thank you.
Not too descriptive, but yeah, very, very well appreciated. Always love the support. Yep.
Hell yeah.
Let's move on to the Screen Memories episode. Jeff, would you like to kick off?
Yeah, this one was my favorite, honestly, because
me too.
There's like the Bohemian Grove aspect and like the government and like the Washington D.C. like the, you know, the GPS view. You could see this owl. And
did you look at that?
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it.
It's so clear. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's fucking nuts.
Yeah, there's definitely something to this. I mean, I could go pretty deep on what my thoughts are on this, but basically, owl, as you say in the episode, owls have been kind of seen as some, either an entity it's in it of itself or like a representation of souls or entities, or there's all these different variations through cultures of this owl in some fashion, right? And then when you talk about screen memories, I don't necessarily think that it's as much of like an implanted or false memory that's used to keep you from remembering what abducted you or what have you. I think it's more the fact that, and I've talked about this before, I'm under the impression that whatever the entities are that have been here for a long time, they're actually manipulating light and the information in light that our brains can decode. So
demons.
Sure, absolutely, right? So I would be more under the impression that when you're seeing, not every owl obviously, but when you're having these weird owl encounters, that is actually the entity, not necessarily a screen memory of an owl to mask the real memory. Because if they're hijacking the information in the light that we can decode and perceive as reality, then they could literally just make themselves look like owls. And again, going back to like all of these occult worshipings, like let's use Bohemian Grove as an example. Mm-hmm. These people know that owls are important on that esoteric level of reality, right? They know that there's something about the owls. So it's super interesting. My mind was going crazy listening to that episode. I was like, oh shit, oh this, that. And I've had many encounters with owls that were weird encounters. So maybe they are here.
Out at NASA. Like two things then. First, Phil had an episode near the end of his last season where he had a lady on there who was talking about aliens that instead of using speech, they use codes delivered in light patterns and in light waves, which was really interesting. Kind of like goes with what you were saying there. Not the demons part, but the part with the what you're saying, like it's like hijacking the light waves. And then the other thing is, like, do you guys think that like it's really like about the owl specifically, or do you think it's about like the human mind's affiliation with owls, being that they have such large eyes and most cultures around the world kind of like view the eyes as like the essence of the soul, like where the soul is kept, right? So like you have these huge eyes and like you're looking into that, and like you think like you're looking into like more of a soul than like,
yeah, something, but blue that whales have eyes. Bigger eyes. You can use blue whales,
right? But like, no, when we're talking about like scale, like proportion to head, like owls have the anime eyes of the animal kingdom, right? So like they're huge.
There's like something to that. For sure. I think like in the physical reality, right? Just normal people throughout history viewing owls, they're crazy birds, man. I mean, first of all, birds are always held in like high regard, whether it's good or bad, right? Because number one, they can fly and we can't.
And owls are supposed to be so wise.
Yeah, we're always looking at different types of birds, especially weird birds, and it's captivating to the ancient man's mind, right? So an owl would be no different. They're huge, which is another thing that would captivate us, the eyes, as you're saying, and the fact that they can rotate their heads, like, you know, most of the way around. Like all of those factors are things that, you know, it's like it's a weird thing as a human to see those types of things, right? So
plus,
I think
they're silent when they're flying. They're not like any other birds where you can hear the flapping, right? They're completely dead silent when they're flying,
and they're apex predators, right? Mm-hmm. All of these things are interesting, especially to ancient man, right? Like all of these things. But I do really think that there's something, you know, in that occult sphere or in that esoteric sphere that has a link to owls because of, like you say in the episode, Jeremy, Bohemian Grove. There's there's no other reason. I mean, they could have built a 30-foot statue of anything, but they chose to make it an owl, and they chose to put the blueprints of an owl in the groundwork of Washington, D.C. So there's definitely something there. And I personally think that it's more literal than just like screen memories. I think that what you're seeing in those encounters is what the entities are encoding for you to see, not masking what you saw.
Well, one more question then, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't Moloch have something to do with owls as well?
In the ancient texts, I don't think so as much, but a lot of the stuff from ancient texts has been like, you know, inverted, right? Like that's one of the whole, I mean, you would know about this, CJ, right? Like inverting truth or inversion of reality. Like this is like one of the things that some occult people would do to perform certain types of magic or whatever the case might be, right? Like inversion is one of these keys.
Well, usually, inversion is like, has a lot to do with like divination, but typically when things were inverted, it's because people were trying to wipe out pagan cultures, not because of like anything else.
Sure. Well, I think that, you know, there, as you know, like the old saying, as above, so below, my belief in that saying is more so like things happen on the higher realms that we can't necessarily understand and perceive. They also happen in the physical reality that we perceive. So, oh, yes. Yeah.
Moloch is the owl god.
No, it's a bull man, but he does have a pair of wings. But it was the bull head with the outstretched hands, and the people would throw their babies inside the hands while there was a fire burning underneath, and they'd play their instruments so they couldn't hear the screams of the babies while they burned to death inside the hands. But there's other depictions of Moloch where it has a big pair of wings behind it. So I guess, but that's not to say that an occult practice that worships, you know, a demon couldn't then add on other things to say, like, okay, now owls are mixed in with it. Like, I'm not going to say the people that do the Bohemian Grove thing and all the politicians and stuff don't also worship other, you know, deities such like that, right? It's just like, you know, it's,
well,
just,
I mean, it also, it makes sense, like, it, to use an owl when you're trying to convince people of something, because the eyes, the whole, like, that it holds the soul.
Sure, yeah.
In the eye, the eyes contain the truth. It's like they basically, well, you picking the animal with the largest eyes on scale. You're telling them like, oh, well, we hold the truth. Like, look into our eyes. We hold the truth. This is where your soul lives.
Right. Well, that's exactly what I mean when I say that these people know something that we don't know, and they're encoding that. See, again, as Jeremy said in the episode, like, if you're in the conspiracies, you understand that these people have to tell you, or they believe that they have to tell you things. So when they build a 30-foot statue of an owl, or, and you didn't mention this in the episode, but it made me think about it. If you go back and look at a lot of like the EDC stages, right? A lot of those stages have, whether it's cyborgs or owls, like that's always a reoccurring theme. Mm-hmm. And those people, like at Bohemian Grove, they understand that there is wisdom that they hold and it involves your soul. So they would, of course, encode this into like their owl worship at the same time, just like what you're saying, CJ. Like those, mm-hmm. those components of the eyes and of the owl and the wisdom and the soul, like the windows to the soul, like they're literally saying, like, look, we're worshiping this thing, or maybe not even worshiping it, right? Because I don't know that that's what they're doing there.
It's their mascot.
It's just a way for them to put out into the public. And again, we have to remember that nothing that they really don't want us to know about gets out, right? Like there's secrets that'll never come out. So the fact that people were able to get these secrets from Bohemian Grove out to the public and it's become so widely known, that was done on purpose, right? So that was their way of showing you, hey, look, we're playing with the soul, we're playing with the wisdom that we're holding tight, here it is.
So I'm not gonna lie, I probably could have done a whole another episode on this, and in order to get it down in time, I had to cut out a couple of those examples, right? Like the EDM concerts and stuff. I did have something like that. It wasn't very thorough because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not too familiar with the scene. So I could only go off of what I could find online, and I didn't really like that.
Bro, I'm going to take you to a rave and you're going to just record the whole thing.
Nah, I'm good. but
if you two walk into a rave, they're going to think you're cops.
Oh yeah, I'm going to wear the shill hat while I'm there.
I dance just good enough to pass as just a weirdo, right? He's
on the episode with Moloch and everything. Did you bring up the Travis Scott concert?
I don't remember. No, that's what I was just saying. So that was a part that I had in there, was specifically the Travis Scott concert. But again, I get all my information from books. I don't have a lot of content that I get from online. Usually that's just for like small details. So I wasn't very comfortable with the information I was putting out because I couldn't verify the information coming from a reputable source. I know when the Travis Scott concert happened that there was, you know, videos of it everywhere, and the image of owls was a huge thing, and plus a whole bunch of other demonic concepts a part of it.
Well, they're all Illuminati.
What, CJ?
The stage was deliberately set up as like a painting representing Moloch and sacrifices mm-hmm. to Moloch, and the tramplings, like it was like the exact number of people died that would be the sacrifice, and like it was very specific. Yeah,
People, not to get way off topic, but people were actually reporting that there was something weird with the frequency of the music as well. Like having all types of effects and stuff. I just put a link in the chat right here too, if you guys want to look at it. This is just like an image search, and you can just kind of browse through. These are all EDC stages, and almost all of them have representations of owls, ancient Egyptian gods, and cyborgs. It's like it's like a weird thing.
Oh yeah, no, there's definitely a connection there. Especially when you start seeing that these EDC concerts from, and this is again coming from an online source, I've been hearing, or I researched or I found that there's a lot of political ties going into these EDC concerts now too.
And look, you know, I'll even kind of, this is probably something that Jake would agree with mostly, but like, and don't get me wrong, like I used to be the hippie, right? I would do psychedelics and go to these types of festivals. But understanding the things that I understand now, I do realize that that is a form of, I don't want to use the word brainwashing, but, you know, manipulating of your soul, right? Going to like EDC, for instance, taking a bunch of psychedelics, listening to this music, the frame rates and the flashing lights with these symbols in the background all tied in together is doing something to your subconscious mind.
So
Yeah, I just stopped going to raves. I watched a guy die at the last rave I was at, and I was just like, all right, that's enough for me. As a security guard, so people came up. He was like, had his water bottle off to the side, and there's a bunch of chicks like grinding on him and stuff. So clearly, he's focused on them. Some guy walks up with just a handful of crap and just puts it right in his water bottle. Bunch of guys come running up and try to pull the water bottle out of his hands because they just watched this guy drug it, right? And he gets all aggressive and starts pushing him back and is like, gives him this weird look, turns away and starts drinking it. And then 20 minutes later, he's on the ground foaming. Paramedics are there and he flatlines and they throw a sheet over him. And I was like, all right, that's enough for me. You know, I like the music, right? I like just the, you know, it's great to work out to and all that sort of stuff. It's good to dance to and everything. But yeah, it's just like that sort of life and culture and stuff like that, especially with heavy drug use and everything. But now, yeah, you see stuff that gets there. It's either that most stages I see these days, they have a huge push for this, like sort of, I don't know, Eastern mysticism type thing going on with their stages and stuff like that. And it's like, all right, well, I mean, I guess it's all open up your mind and blah, blah, all this sort of stuff, you know?
Yeah. If you took the position and looked at that type of thing from the perspective of like spiritual warfare, for instance, right? Yeah. You could definitely make the ties that this is like promoting all forms of degeneracy. No offense to people who like this shit. Just saying, if you took that perspective, that, you know, you're
sure.
You're, yeah. Right, you see what I'm saying? So
yeah,
but it is interesting that they always have the owl, like it's a very prominent feature, right? So it's like CJ said, man, the owl's eyes, man, it's like the window to your soul, bro. Like,
and well, it's the owl's right been a symbol for a lot of different spiritual faiths and paths, and
yeah,
you know, we're going all the way back, like pre-Christianity, pre-Judaism, like, you know, the old gods. You know, the owl was always a symbol of like the window to the soul and like the truth and wisdom. It was always regarded as a good omen.
Except if you ask Kenzar, she hates owls. She's scared. Well,
owls like are so like they brought blessings and things like that. So like when you take it, like you incorporate it, it's like adopting something, right? Like just because I can't think of a better example, it's like when the Nazis adopted the swastika from Eastern culture, where it meant like wisdom and like faith or something like that.
Sure.
It was like a good luck symbol for the Chinese or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the Nazis took it and turned it into something evil. It's like, it's sort of the same thing, right? There, right? Like they take the owl and make it into something. It's not bastardized it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They bastardized it. They inverted or perverted these symbols or these ideas. And again, if we're taking the conspiracy mindset here, right, these people at Bohemian Grove who are infatuated with owls for whatever reason, yeah, sure, maybe the owl is a good omen for them.
Mm. Yeah,
well, no, that's like they're like oh, this is a symbol that means truth to these people. Well, if we apply it to what we're doing, then they'll associate that with truth. It's like manipulation, right? It's almost like spiritual gaslighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's super interesting, though. Yeah. I didn't know that owls were associated with screen memories, honestly, until listening to that episode. But it makes a lot of sense when I really think about it, especially thinking about things going back to what I was saying about like them encoding information in the light and stuff. Like we talked about the gateway documents, right? Mm-hmm. And you remember that section that they're saying, hey, look, the universe is a hologram. Your mind is a hologram that attunes itself to the universal hologram, creating consciousness. Like holograms are, it's information encoded in light and then decoded using like, whether it's sound or vibration or whatever the case might be. Like that's what your brain is doing, right? We're just taking in light and your brain is taking these signals and showing you what your reality is. So
do you think that means like do you think that means like the mantis shrimp has a way better concept of reality than the rest of us?
Why?
I don't know shit about mantis shrimp except that they're pretty cool.
So like we have like three cones and mantis shrimp have like over 20.
So I can see all the different wavelengths of light and all
this stuff. They can see on spectrums we can't even begin to imagine.
Yeah. Well, there's probably a lot of animals like that, right? Like you ever see your cat like looking at the wall? I mean,
well, cats can see in ultraviolet, can't they? Ultraviolet.
I'm not saying that all animals or more animals have more cones. I'm just saying like different species can see different spectrums of light. Therefore, they're seeing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not uncommon. Like, birds can see UV. Fish communicate using UV.
Yeah. A lot of different species in the animal kingdom use either ultraviolet or infrared and a lot of different things. But to kind of jump back into what I was talking about, another thing that I cut out was the amount of owl statues there are in we'll just use Bohemian Grove as the example, but Bohemian Grove like organizations where they're very heavy in, like what cities they're very heavy in, there's a ton of owl statues. New York City, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, these cities are known, or not necessarily, they're not known to the public, but if you go there, you can spot hundreds, if not, like in New York City, you can spot thousands of owl statues. If you look up the owl statues in New York City, there's people who make videos of these things about how they just randomly pop up in random locations. And then another weird thing about the ones in New York City is that their eyes glow green at some time, some random intervals. So that's another thing that I had cut out. But we've been on this subject for quite a while. But like I said, I could have potentially made an entire second part to this. So, Jeff, if you ever want to create the second part to this, I'm pretty sure you can probably make a really badass second piece to this.
I'll consider it.
Okay. With that being said, this episode had no comments on it. And another little fun fact is I had a random person message me on Facebook asking me for the original to the cover art because he wanted to get it tattooed on him. I thought it was nice. Pretty cool.
That's pretty wild.
I sent it to him. I said, "Here you go, man. Do your thing."
Did he send you a tattoo?
No,
like a picture of a tattoo.
No. He probably wanted to use it for something different, but whatever, man. I love that cover. I created that cover myself, by the way, completely by myself using AI. So
by yourself.
Proud of myself. Anyways, moving on to the next episode. CJ, this is yours, man. Bachelor's Grove. So, one thing I want to say.
Mini-sode compared to the rest of these, though.
Yeah, I tend to go a little long. But anyways, before I joined the Navy, I was actually just a few miles away from Midlothian, Illinois. And if I had any idea that that was there, I probably would have went and checked it out.
Yeah, and not a lot of people know about it except for the locals.
Yeah, my wife is from that area. And her family's still there. So if I ever find myself back in the area, I'm going to go check it out.
I want to go fishing over there. Pull out a horse and buggy and a farmer.
Some of the stories, they were really like crazy because a lot of them, it felt like they had like the initial stories. And then people were like, oh, this is getting popular. And now we're just going to make stuff up to like keep attracting attention
that
to
happens.
It. Yeah. And, like, it just never attracted the kind of attention people were looking for.
Yeah, it's I'm not too big into the haunting aspect of things, hence why we haven't really covered it. It falls well within the realm of what we should cover here on the Infinite Rabbit Hole, and that's why, you know, I'm happy to have you on board here, CJ, because you can do that whole genre service when a lot of us can't. So it was nice having that in the show, because I think when someone thinks of a show that covers the paranormal and the supernatural, that, you know, hauntings is kind of just like, it just fits.
Mm-hmm.
So
the problem is like without like the conversational aspect and like the back and forth on like what people think, the actual haunting stories aren't very long. Right. Like when I was doing that show Ethereal Yours, I think like my longest one where I talked about an actual haunting was maybe 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And that like covered like everything plus additional like tracking down like who like people actually were and what actually happened to them in regards to certain things, like extra research, not just the story. And it was just 40 minutes.
What was the location of that place again?
Midlothian, Illinois.
Because what I was thinking listening to that was like, I wonder if whenever I think of like spots that have weird shit going on, I'm always thinking like the ley lines.
I knew you were going to say that.
You know what I mean? But yeah. It makes sense because didn't we figure one time that, what's that other place over there? Oh, fuck. I don't know. We figured one time we were talking about some place that had like weird shit happening and it was like right on the intersection of a bunch of ley lines. So my thought listening to that was like, I wonder if that's also on some ley lines.
You're talking about Skinwalker Ranch?
That might have been. I don't know. I don't know if it was Skinwalker. Might have been. I don't remember, but that's my thought.
So the problem is they have like three consistent stories at Bachelor's Grove. They have the Lady in White, the Blue Orb, and then the cemetery, the caretaker, right? Except short of the blue light and the Lady in White, there's no record of that caretaker ever existing. There's no record of that house ever actually having been there. There's no record of a yellow hat man. The
Curious George and the man.
That's the first thing I thought about too.
Like when they describe I didn't give that guy any time on the episode. It would have been like 15 seconds. And like the way they describe him, he does look like the dude from Curious George. And like the farmer who rode the horse and buggy into the pond didn't exist. Like they hadn't done the quarry yet. Mm-hmm. So it's not even possible for him to drown into a pond that wasn't there.
They put the pond there to hide the fact that he drowned in an area where there wasn't a pond.
Yeah, drowned in the dirt.
Right.
Face down in the grass.
It was a puddle at the time. It had just rained. And he was very drunk.
And then the only other one that I'm inclined to put some substance into is like maybe the Black Dog, because it makes sense for like that, like the Lady in White and the Blue Orb and things to start happening. And like people are attracted to that. And like the mob did dump bodies there in the 30s. So it kind of makes sense for a Black Dog to show up there afterwards. Like when you look at Black Dog mythology and like the Black Shuck and all that. Right. But the rest of it is just like, this was made up just because people wanted to jump on the hype train. The place started it had like a whole lot of like traction in like the 70s and 80s for being like this like haunting hotspot. It was like cool for people to go there and then like it started dying. If you notice, like when you go through the history of the place, it's like real popular, for a little while. And then when it starts dying off and people start forgetting about it, all of a sudden there's this huge burst of a new story that comes out and gets people to come back.
Well, two things I wanted to touch on this, actually without touching on the Black Dog phenomenon, because I always find that very interesting. But the Lady in White is, you're not your typical Lady in White, where I'm very into urban legends, and a typical Lady in White, which is a common urban legend throughout I would just say America. I'm not sure about the world, honestly, but it's typically tied to a specific location. And a lot of times it's tied to a road where there's a woman who asks for, let's say, like a ride home, like a hitchhiker, if you will. She's in a white dress. She tries to gain access into your car.
Men involved in relationships specifically.
Yeah, specifically. Exactly. And thank you for filling that in. Yeah, specifically men in relationships trying to peel the adulterers out of all of us. That is your typical Lady in White. So when CJ was going over the Lady in White, I was kind of waiting for a sort of that aspect to pop out. But it never did.
I don't think it's like a Lady in White is in the category Lady in White. I think it's just a title they gave her because of the dress they see her in.
Yeah, that's kind of what I bought off of it, too. I figured that was the case after you went over that subject. And I was like, that's interesting. And then I specifically had a notebook with notes on all, your episode and the Younger Dryas, because I didn't specifically do research into it, so I had specific notes about what to talk about. And I remember that was one thing that I wrote down, and I don't know where the damn notebook is anymore. I don't know why I even kept it. Anyways, the other thing I wanted to talk about was the only time that I came close on this podcast to talk about a haunting or a topic tied to hauntings was the, I don't know, some people aren't going to like this, but I wanted to dissect Ed and Lorraine Warren and how much of bullshitters they are.
Oh, okay. Thank you, God. I was about to quit the infinite rabbit hole again right now.
For those that actually, CJ, you probably know more about this than I do, but Ed and Lorraine Warren are demonologists that are tied to very, very, very big haunting cases.
They were charlatans who showed up and made situations worse everywhere they went.
100%, but they have this cult-like following, and you'll know things like the Amityville Horror, and what's the doll one called there, CJ?
Annabelle.
A lot of them were made into big name Hollywood features.
There's way more than that. What is that? The one that starts with a C that everybody, it's a whole series of movies.
There's a couple.
Conjuring.
Yeah.
The whole Conjuring series, that's all Ed and Lorraine Warren. Yeah. And like none of it is true. Like
none of it.
And like, the people who survive the encounters with Ed and Lorraine Warren, like who are still alive and can talk about what it's like to interact with them, they were like, no, they were idiots. And they showed up and they just like screwed everything up. They got underfoot. They were in the way and they just wanted to take credit for everything.
So there's a sort of new show on Netflix that I was watching the other day about an exorcism or a case with an exorcism tied to it, and how Ed and Lorraine Warren got tied to that. And the boy who was being exorcised is being recorded for the show. And he's specifically talking about how Ed and Lorraine Warren came in. They created all kinds of publicity for it. And then they made out with some movie contract. It might have even been Amityville. I'm not 100% sure. I was folding clothes at the time, so I wasn't fully involved. But he was specifically talking about how Ed and Lorraine Warren fucked his entire family.
Yeah, it wasn't Amityville. Like, their involvement in Amityville was so minuscule. Like, it's almost negligible. It was just like, oh, hey, this whole thing happened in Amityville. And then for 15 minutes, Ed and Lorraine Warren showed up and nobody cared. Back to Amityville. And like, so I don't know which story you're talking about, but they did that. Like, that's like the cookie cutter version of what they did everywhere they went.
Yeah, so the show is called Devil on Trial. It's on Netflix. I can't find a synopsis, so I can't really tell you what it specifically goes over, but it's called Devil on Trial. So if anybody does want to watch that, that is the closest that I ever came to doing a haunting topic, minus the one time I thought that I could do an episode on the Salem witch trials and realized it was literally just history and that there was no hauntings at all.
Yeah. If you ever want to do an Ed and Lorraine episode where we just sit down and talk shit about them, let me know. I'm about it. I will call off work to do that episode.
Well, all right. Travelers, you heard it here. If you want to hear an episode where CJ and I just talk shit about Ed and Lorraine Warren, let us know and we'll make it happen. There are no comments on that episode. Sorry, CJ. Nobody loves you.
I'm not shocked, to be honest with you.
But moving on, we're going to start off with the comment from this episode. This is for the younger Dryas, and this was done by none other than Jeffrey himself. The comment here is best episode in the multiverse by El Jefe, which is Jeff himself. He literally commented on his own fucking episode like a loser. So
here's Lady laughing at him in the background.
I did.
When you post on Facebook and like your own post, loser.
I did, in fact.
So, that. One thing to say about the younger Dryas, and for some stupid reason, this ends up happening with Jeff, makes me want to rethink the entire infinite rabbit hole and what direction we go in.
Infinite Jeff hole.
Yeah, it should honestly just be the infinite Jeff topic hole, because every time he does an episode, the topic just blows out and plays.
Jeff's
and
this infinite is hole.
Yeah, this the younger Dryas has definitely done incredibly better.
Well, it's so good.
Well, the only other episode that did better than the Younger Dryas is the IRH News one when we talk about aliens in a mall. But you have to think that we caught that right when it happened.
Yeah.
And it was also out a month and a half before Younger Dryas. So it had enough time to kind of beat Younger Dryas and only beat it by a handful of plays. So Younger Dryas, who wants to start us off there?
I'll start it off. I was down with nearly everything Jeff was talking about. Maybe not a comet impact, as I believe that most of the craters you see on Earth or the calderas are actually from water coming up from the hollow Earth, because prior to the flood, like breaking through. If you take an ice cube and you put it underneath sand, and then the ice cube goes away and it, like, all the sand sinks, right? It compresses and stuff like that from water being there. It makes a perfect round disc or perfect round bowl the same way you see all the crater impacts that are on the Earth. Like, I don't think that they're actually from meteors. They're actually from water coming up through there. But anyway, I digress. But I totally believe in lost civilizations. I mean, I'm a Bible believer, say it over and over and over again. If you read the story of Noah's Ark, the reason why God flooded the earth was because man's heart was wicked 24/7. There was nothing good about us. And you could speculate as to what that means. It could just be like people were just like, I don't know, cannibals just raping each other all day long. Or it could be that there was ancient civilizations that had an incredible wealth of knowledge. I'm down with the idea that a lot of the ancient structures we see here on Earth were built by people that didn't inhabit them, as far as history says. How did they get the technology to make X, Y, and Z when they only had the technology to do, you know, these buildings we can obviously see that they created because it has their art style, their architecture, that sort of stuff. I'm down with that whole thing. Down with the whole giants thing, you know, how were the pyramids made? Giants, whatever, who cares, right? Maybe not. Could be slaves, you know, Jewish slaves. But yeah, I mean, I was jiving like that whole episode. I was like, yeah, you know, all the Atlantis stuff and everything like that. Like it was getting me pretty good. The only disagreements I had were like on the ages of things, saying that something was like, you know, these stones from Göbekli Tepe. Is that right?
Göbekli Tepe.
That's it. I can't pronounce that, but that, you know, they're thousands and thousands and thousands of years older than, you know, the Egyptians and things like that. And it's just like, well, but that's using carbon dating on stone, which is inaccurate AF.
Well, couple things real quick, two rebuttals to that. Number one, the crater impacts. Nobody's really ever found crater impacts from the comet at the end of the Younger Dryas because they would have impacted this two mile thick ice sheet. So there's not really any craters. The craters would have hit the ice sheet and melted away almost instantly, right? So
sure.
That being said, after recording that, they did discover some pretty sizable, let's call them dents in the ground. In like, I think it was in Greenland or Iceland somewhere, that would have been right in the path of these impacts. And the way that they're shaped, from what I understand, is it's not necessarily what we would consider like an impact crater now. It was more so as if something did hit the ice sheet and compressed down, creating like this.
Like a dip?
Like a different shape crater, if that makes sense. Than what you would expect to see, right? So that's the first thing. The second thing, the carbon dating that they did at Göbekli Tepe. Now remember, carbon dating is not accurate beyond 50,000 years.
Right.
The carbon dating they did in Göbekli Tepe, they did not do on the stone. All of those megaliths at Göbekli Tepe were purposely buried 11,000 years ago.
So what they do, like the sediment layers?
They, as they've been digging, they've been finding organic material that they were doing carbon dating on down there.
Isn't it that carbon dating is completely inaccurate if the thing gets wet?
It's in the desert.
Carbon dating is inaccurate. But that doesn't mean anything. I mean, altogether, like, you know, they gave somebody a chicken bone.
Deserts used to be.
Yeah. No, it's
church
not.
Gave them that chicken bone and they carbon dated it to like 11,000 years old.
Yeah, and it was like a 5-minute old chicken bone they just got done eating the barbecue sauce off of. Yeah. Like
I've shit all over carbon dating, so I'm with you guys on that. But there is other ways to date things right now. The thing that I find most interesting isn't necessarily the dating as much as it is the fact that all of those sites, and Göbekli Tepe is a big site, it's huge, right? They've only uncovered like a small percentage of it, and even what they've uncovered is huge, but the fact that it was purposely buried, and it was buried with sediment, if you will, from another location. So people purposely brought, just like they brought the big stones to Egypt to build you know, the Giza Plateau, they were bringing this sand and shit from somewhere else to bury this thing right as the Younger Dryas period started. So it's as if they knew something's about to go down. We have to preserve this. Let's bury it. That's what's now, interesting.
The other thing that got to me too was the ice core samples. I've seen that before. And at first I was skeptical. I'm like, what does that even mean? But basically snow layers over time compressing down on each other. And you can see in those layers of this represents a half a year or 10 years or whatever that layer represents. There's changes to the atmosphere and the environment and like different, you know, carbon levels and all that sort of stuff in the environment. I think that sort of stuff is fascinating. And that's when I get into my whole Christianity realm of like, well, is it a young earth that looks old or is it an old earth that, you know, whatever. But either way, like that whole thing, like I was jiving. Like that was a dang good episode. The only thing I really didn't like was the volume, because as soon as we got into an ad, my speakers on my truck went through the roof and blew my eardrums out.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I am a music guy, so I can make the music sound good, but when I start editing my own voice, it is ass. I got to figure out the proper levels for editing.
Six.
Whatever. But
six decibels.
There's a lot to it, man, and I don't know if I made this very clear in the episode, but the Younger Dryas period is not really debated, right? Something happened that caused a dramatic change in the climate at that time.
Sure, yeah.
Now, the debate is whether it was a fragmented comet that came in and hit the ice sheets, and then 1,200 years later, more fragments of the same comet came in and hit somewhere in the ocean, causing those two spikes that you see on their data, right? The fact that those two spikes happened, though, not really debated. You know what I'm saying? So that's really where it comes down to. Could it have been a fragmented comet? Probably. That's what I think, because we go through the Torrid meteor shower twice a year, every single year. And every single time it happens, there's meteor showers, right? So it makes sense to me. Could it have been like a sky battle, like the ancient Vimana that the Hindu texts talk about, and like a super energy nuclear war happening at that time that caught? Could have been. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the biggest comments that I've had, or the most common comments that I've had about this episode, was the volume. So thank you, Jeff. I would like to say that your voice is amazing. Absolutely knee shattering. Like I was weak, man.
I blame
his
you though.
Pants for the fell off while he's listening to
it. Yeah. Like if I swing that way, I'd be like, dude, just read your script. I'll take care of myself.
Jeremy was wet listening to it.
I blame Jeremy for the volume issues.
Gross.
What a recording, man. What a recording. Beautiful voice. Oh, and, just and gorgeous.
The music you put behind it. I've started to notice that y'all are throwing like music and stuff behind when you're speaking. And I thought that it was really well placed. It was a really good episode. Just it was a pleasure to listen to it.
Appreciate it. ChatGPT wrote the whole thing. I just read it.
You know, that was something I was gonna say too. I was just like, I was sitting there thinking about it. I'm sitting there driving, I'm listening to it, and I was like, Jeff doesn't even speak like this. I don't even think he wrote it. Like I was gonna force you to tell me who wrote this for you, and I was gonna hire
ChatGPT.
ChatGPT.
He's like, furthermore, hilarious. And I was like, he doesn't say that.
He doesn't say furthermore.
He never says furthermore.
No, but it is weird doing a podcast by. That's the first time I've ever done something like solo with nobody else to talk to and just like record it. Like, it's very weird, but let me do it a few times. We'll dial it in, you know.
Good job, man.
No, that's good.
All right, moving on. Gotta make some time up here. Stardust Ranch. I can't wait to hear what you guys.
You said Mel's hole, and I was like, we can't escape him. It's just, I was like, it's just unescapable. Mel's hole. It's just the worst story I've ever heard. The only believable part that I heard was when the guy said that he pulled out his AK-47 to shoot it at the craft or the beam or whatever it was.
That's and the
was
most like, American thing I've ever
I was
heard.
I was like, I can buy that. I'm shooting all the time in my backyard, waiting for the aliens to come. Like, I was like, bring it, you know. But yeah, oh yeah, this samurai sword, this katana, fell off the back of a truck, and that's how I got it. I was like, yeah, okay. You see someone's property fall out of their truck, and you're just like, just so happens to be a katana that I'm going to use on these aliens.
I don't want to bag on this story so much because there are a lot of people who are heavy believers in Edwards' story, right, Edwards?
Well, there's a lot of flat earthers too, but we talk crap on that.
True.
And one of them sitting on the show.
Can we do like a social experiment where like we take the people who like they believe in it and the people who are like that's nonsense and the people who are like I'm not sure and then like distribute an IQ test to everyone and compare that data?
No, but
I think we could if we tried. No bad.
They'd be like, this guy doesn't even know how to read.
When I say,
I'd be like, so.
When I say that I had to alter. Like I really had to work hard to make this episode not sound like a parody of Skinwalker Ranch. It was very, very difficult. The whole Stardust Ranch thing, I think, is I don't want to come off as rude, man. I'm not buying it. But the idea of living in a place where you have to night in and night out fight off alien beings with samurai swords,
that sounds awesome.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun, not gonna lie.
The guy on the property, I kill the monsters. I would have been like, dude, let's party, bro. Sounds awesome. Show me the monsters.
So there were two parts of that actually kind of like lined up with certain things, like the way you guys described it, like the way the aliens were and how they interacted and things like that, lines up with interdimensional being lore. And then the bullets not doing anything, but the katana doing something.
Because it's
old
iron.
Katanas, the original katanas were iron, right?
That's right.
Most of the bullets are lead. Iron affects spirits and interdimensional beings.
Oh, see?
So says Supernatural.
So says an individual lore. Supernatural pulled that from mythology.
Well, I don't know. I heard it first from Supernatural. So, you know.
It's a lot of like vampire lore and stuff. That's why they used to put like iron bars and stuff. Like they would bury like iron spikes and shit.
Or they put horseshoes up.
My two biggest problems, honestly, and really the biggest grievance I would have, because didn't you mention that they wrote a book?
Yeah. Yep.
See, when you're going through something like this and then you write a book about it, it just makes me think that you were just trying to write a book about it. You see what I'm saying? Like, right. So
Jeremy has it. He gave him money.
Right. You know, so like partly automatically,
the guy's dead, isn't he?
Yeah.
My skepticism goes up a little more when you've written a book about the thing because the money and the whatever, right?
Versus now, just throwing it out on the internet for free.
Right. Yeah. So like, I'm already skeptical about it.
So he did originally do that. He did originally put it on the internet for free. And I said Edwards earlier, but it's actually John Edmonds, not Edwards. I was interested in the entire subject until the lady showed up with the Syrians. And
oh my gosh.
Oh,
I can
my
speak
gosh.
To the horses. And I'm like, can you believe people like this get paid? There were so many titles to her profession.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh my gosh, I speak to the rocks too.
And I'm not going to lie. I left out a couple titles of hers because I couldn't pronounce them. I'm not gonna lie. There's like three of them, man, where I left them out because I was like, I can't pronounce this. And I couldn't like Google the pronunciation. Like there wasn't any of that, like click the speaker and it pronounces it for you. So I was like, yeah, fuck it. There's enough titles here already.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So
my favorite part of that story was when the lady showed up. The random lady, like they contacted her and she pulls up with a friend who's like an alien and she brought like an armada with her.
Yeah.
And then she just walks out to the driveway and like holds her hands up like Rafiki and comes back and like, oh, it's done.
Rafiki.
Yeah. I mean, look, you could make the argument like, hey, is this another one of these vortices or ley line intersections? Is there some weird magnetic force of the earth happening at this spot? And then it's like fucking with people's perceptions of things, right? Or whatever. Like,
yeah, sure.
That's the only thing that I can think of. I'm not going to discount that dude was having and his wife were having some weird experiences.
Oh, sure.
I just can't buy that it was like the Grays at this dude's house, because it's like, again, there's so many other places that the Grays could show up and that would be way more effective than some random 10-acre lot somewhere. You know what I mean? Like whatever their goal is, whether it's to communicate or study or whatever, that's not the place to do pretty much any of these things, right? So to me, it's like something was probably, you know, messing with the perceptions of reality at this point, like in the earth.
So we're all gonna just not talk about the fact that Jeff's door opened itself just now.
I saw that. It was a cat, though. Probably
it was a cat.
So okay. The thing that I thought about, because I was debating on whether to do a subject or a section in this report about how this could be true, and
if he made it up, it'd be true to him,
right? And then you know, I was gonna go into the whole cosmic trickster aspect of things, and I thought that would be a good way to kind of sum that up. But then I've never really covered the cosmic trickster before on this show. So when you cover the cosmic trickster, or any trickster, right, depending on what you call it, it honestly requires an entire episode to explain. So I didn't really want
to
go
into the djinn. Is this what you're referring to?
Sort of, but this is a different being, sort of altogether. Not really, man. It's I'm not going to get into it. Google it if you're really interested in it. One day I will cover the concept of the cosmic trickster, and that is something that's pointed at in the Skinwalker Ranch lore as a possibility as well. But with that being said, there is one more ranch that I will be covering eventually. So we'll have Skinwalker Ranch, Stardust Ranch, and a third one here. Probably going to put some time in between it, but I've already got the book.
It's over there. The only thing that this episode was missing was someone who has a ridiculous, just ridiculous nickname that they demand everyone call them. I go by Dragon. Like Skinwalker Ranch. I needed that caretaker, the monster hunter, to be like, they're like, my name's Dave, but I go by Shadow Man or something, some dumb, stupid nickname. I'm just like, it would have been a parody of that. It was crazy.
So without saying it out loud, this is the name of the...
Never heard of it, bro.
No. And, you know, a lot of people haven't heard of that or Stardust Ranch. And I will be diving into that completely blind. So the research material is here, ready to roll. So eventually you'll be getting a third ranch story. And what's crazy about these three ranches is that they make a perfect line. Perfect 3-point line. Yeah.
Like Orion's Belt. The Orion's Belt of ranches. Oh,
almost like they fall on one of the many ley lines.
Almost like they do. Almost like they do. Or a natural gas line. One of the...
Either one. Either one would mess with your mind, for sure.
Yeah. Anything else on this one?
No.
I like the episode. I thought it was good. I thought you presented it very well.
I thought it was fun. It was a fun episode.
Yeah.
I mean, in the way that Mel's Hole was fun, too. Right.
Mel's Hole was Mel's Hole was not fun. Mel's Hole was annoying.
We had a blast doing Mel's Hole.
Oh, we were tearing it up. But yeah, that was... And then this happened.
Fun fact, every time we mention Mel's Hole, that thing like shoots up 200 or 300 plays.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
And people regret ever having listened to it.
All right, so that episode did have a comment by Ryan Newland. He said, great episode. This podcast is bomb. Thanks, Ryan. Awesome. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Bomb is a good thing, just so you know, Jeremy.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Really, really quick.
It's gas.
Really quick, I want to just touch on Injured Cold. This was the episode in celebration of our 100,000th play. So thank you, travelers, for taking the time to listen to us 100,000 times. I'm sorry, but I appreciate
50K
it.
Of those was us.
No. I make sure when I listen to it, I listen to the raw audio. I don't count my listen. But with that also being said, the only other thing that I want to put out there is if you didn't get a chance to listen to it during our part 5 of the Injured Cold series that we did back in the day, we had Tanya Derenberger on, and she has since passed. So I just want to put that out there. She was awesome, and I'm just going to leave it at that. So by all means, if you feel like you need to pay your respect, please do. She was a great, great addition to the show for that episode, and a resource that we no longer have. So, all right. Anything
very
else?
Kind.
On?
Super kind to do that interview super, with us.
Super kind. She was one of the nicest people I've ever met.
And she was very... very open to the Q&A and, you know, how does this work? How does that work? That sort of stuff, you know, just kind of not getting frustrated with us non-believers, I guess.
Yeah, but, she took the heat very well because we hit her with some skepticism for sure.
Yeah. It was good. It was a good interview.
Yeah, she was great.
Very nice person.
She was awesome. She's going to be missed for sure. And then the last episode, the one that we'll be coming out tomorrow as of this recording. We'll have come out 2 weeks ago as of the release. And the one that I edited the fastest and worst editing that I've ever done in my life. It's absolutely horrible editing. Sorry, I was on a time frame with this one.
I bailed.
Jake was supposed to do a Colacanth episode, but then I had to research, write up, edit, and publish this episode.
The SERP season is only 3 weeks long, Jeremy.
Well, anyways, so
at least he didn't quit the show this time.
That's true. At least he did not.
I just don't contribute. That's all.
So,
so pretty much the same.
So, if you guys are listening to that episode, you're like, "Damn, this is a really shitty job at editing."
It's not. It's good.
No, it's really not. It's absolutely terrible.
I speak to you so much, I'm just used to the way that you sound. So when I hear it, I'm like,
fine,
all right,
bro. Yeah. I didn't even notice a difference, man. At least the volume was right.
Yeah. That's true. Jeff really dropped the ball on that one.
So I actually researched how to edit podcasts faster, and I went down this one guy's path of how to edit podcasts. And yes, it did go fast. Not 100% happy with the way it came out. I'm going to kind of alter it a little bit to my likings, see if I can't fiddle with things to get it better. But with that being said, Shag Harbor.
Look, man. Okay. First of all, we're talking about the height of the Cold War. Okay.
Yep.
We're talking about a military installation right in the area. Okay. This has got secret technology testing written all over it. You know what I mean?
100% agree.
That's all I'm saying. It wasn't aliens. It was definitely testing.
I'll tell you, I didn't know anything about Shag Harbor. I knew it happened. I didn't really know the story. I've always known it as the Canadian Roswell.
Which doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't. it doesn't. And, you know, we'll kind of get into that a little bit more when we eventually do cover Roswell. But the big difference between Roswell and Shag Harbor is that there was debris and bodies said to have been recovered in Roswell. And that's what makes Roswell Roswell, right? Where Shag Harbor was the closest that you got to it was that that ship that was doing a it turned into a, like a reconnaissance mission where they were watching these alien beings fix a downed UFO under the water in a bay. It was a great story. The context was phenomenal. But I agree with Jeff. I think this 100% was secret government doings
I mean there's I mean what I'm thinking is you have some secret technology that's able to fly and go, you know, submersible under the water, right? One craft that can do both, because if any military can develop something that can do that, that's next level, right? Because right. You think about hundreds of billions that go into like submarine research, and then also hundreds of billions that go into aircraft research. If you could somehow merge the two and just create one craft that can do both, boom, you're good. So why wouldn't they be doing that? And then also the bit about the Russian, it was a Russian submarine that showed up, right?
Yeah.
You know that back during the Cold War, I mean, there was all of the listening programs and everything. So it's like we knew what the Russians were doing. The Russians knew what we were doing, not to mention the remote viewing programs that both of us were doing. So you had psychics literally finding out secret programs that were happening. So
the men who carry goats.
Exactly. The fact that the Russian submarine popped up at that time was like the key for me. It was like, okay, they knew something was going down and they showed up to get their eyes on whatever this thing was too.
Right. And honestly, my personal opinion is that this was possibly a Soviet craft, and that the Soviet sub had showed up to assist or whatnot. Because honestly, if this was a Canadian or an American craft, there would never have been the ship that watched it. It would just never would have really happened. They would have the Canadian armed forces and the American armed forces have always worked very closely together. And one would have said to the other, like, hey, get away from our shit. And they would have just kind of dealt with it. But I really do think that this was possibly Soviet, and we were watching this happen to gather information. And then the Soviet soap came to either assist or try to block us from watching whatever was going on, and, you know, whatever happened.
See, I actually disagree. I think it was probably more one of ours and the Soviets. I mean, look, back then, you know, radar and all that wasn't what it is today. So it's not unimaginable to think that a Russian sub could have gotten that close to a Canadian installation somewhere without anybody really knowing, right? Like, I'm sure it happened all the time. Mm-hmm. But the thing that really also grabbed my attention was that they used that whole situation to further the Project Blue Book. So this is like one of those things where it's like, hey man, what if we just like kind of make the story seem a little more crazy? Maybe we'll actually have some civilians get eyes on this thing, and then that'll get us more funding. Because you think about the millions of dollars and all the people whose jobs at the time were dependent on Project Blue Book. Why wouldn't they do some form of a false flag event to just get more funding to keep the project going, right?
See, there was so many other different UFO incidents that happened around the Cold War time that I think better fit that narrative. And eventually we'll cover them.
I'm not saying it's the only one. I'm just saying. You know, like, here's a piece, another thing. We could be like, hey, we need more funding. Look, man, there's shit going down. And the Russians are even looking at it too. Like, oh shit.
But if you look at the politics from the US, Canada, and the Soviets, there was definitely a lot going on between those three parties, especially with us teaming up. I personally, I'm still on board with it being Team Soviet craft. And I do agree that there probably was a false flag created at some point somewhere using a quote unquote UFO to help create interest and get funds for the Project Bluebeam or you know equal programs, but I don't think that was the one. Maybe I'll cover one of those here soon so we can talk about that. But yeah, there's a lot of other I wouldn't say a lot, but there's at least three that I can think of that happened around the same time frame where I think those were much more
impactful.
In the sense of getting funds as a false flag, I definitely think that there was some better ones out there to fit that.
It wasn't aliens, bro. That's all I'm saying.
I would like to hear I want to hear one of the interviews with one of those SEAL guys or the, you know, whoever was tasked with watching that happen at the bottom of the bay there and see if he can't actually describe what they saw. Because one thing in water, man, especially in salt water, you can't see that far down. That's, you know, that's the first thing that I thought of when I saw that. And that actually may lend to believability of what you were saying. If one person is floating around that top of the water, looking down and just watching as these alien beings are fixing this craft, you're not seeing much, if anything, to be honest with you, especially in salt water. It's just not going to happen.
And they're definitely seeing you.
They're definitely seeing you. They may not see you, but they'll see you on equipment. And if we were watching them with equipment as well, there'd be no reason to have a person in the water. So I'm not 100% sold on this guy's story.
Think that's what the aliens think? They're like, hey, that guy sees us. And they're like, nobody cares. No one's going to believe him anyway.
maybe. Good possibility there too. I love that story. I definitely think something happened. Something happened and something went wrong, whether it was an alien craft or a Soviet or, you know, a U.S. or Canadian test craft is, you know, up for debate. But I do believe something happened. There's enough evidence, enough recorded history to say something happened.
Enough civilians saw some shit go down for sure.
Yeah, there's FAA records. There's, I know they're easy to dock, but military records, a lot of newspapers, a lot of eyewitness testimony. There's a lot to point that yes, something.
And nobody saw an owl.
Good Not question.
That we know of.
Good question. Maybe they saw an owl under the water.
It was an owl.
Owls. Maybe they were owls that were fixing the craft. Who knows?
The craft from the abyss.
Yeah.
They had to breathe into the pink stuff.
It was actually an owl watching that thing get repaired underwater because you need eyes that big to see it down that far.
True.
Good call.
But this topic was recommended by Justin, who came on the episode for episode 137 of Black Hole Chat, where we talked about Justin and some of his endeavors.
I still talk to Justin. Nice guy.
Do you? Good.
Yep.
Well, then he'll appreciate that this was done. Hopefully he sees it. I haven't seen him too active in the group lately. So hopefully he does check out.
He deleted his Facebook.
Oh, well, good for him then.
Yeah.
Good for him. Well, then hopefully he does appreciate the episode because a very long time ago we had asked for recommendations and it was literally just a comment that said, do the Shag Harbor incident. And I was like, totally forgot about Shag Harbor. I should do a Shag Harbor episode. And I grabbed a couple books and dove in, and I've actually had the research halfway done for a very long time. And then, you know, when Jake said he wasn't able to finish Coelacanth, I was like, oh, well, this is a perfect time to finish.
Not only Shag was Harbor. I not able to finish it, I didn't start it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to say that, but that's true.
I dropped the ball. Yeah. We all fail sometimes, and I failed really hard. Sorry, guys.
We'll see if it comes out next quarter.
Probably not.
does anybody want to give us a tidbit as to what we're doing next quarter?
What are you asking us for?
I don't know. A peek under the curtain, a little reward for making it this far. Pay attention to.
You want to look up our skirt? That's what you're asking.
Yeah. Do you guys have any ideas of what you're going to cover next quarter?
Not a single clue, man.
No,
I do.
Nope,
I do. Yeah,
Jake's not going to do anything. He's going to tell us he's going to do something and not do it.
You know what? Just for that, I'm going to keep it to myself. And then you're going to be surprised. We won't be surprised
because you won't do it. Then we'll be like, we knew it.
Yeah, you're either going to be surprised or you're going to be like, that's typical.
In true Jeff fashion, I'm going to wait till the very last minute and then I'm going to cram it all in.
Knock it
out of the park.
Well, I will give you guys a peek because the very next episode that you're going to hear from the Infinite Rabbit Hole is the story and history of Pepe, the lake monster of Lake Pepin. Which was a recommendation from a very young fan of the show, a little girl, I believe she's either 9 or 10, who said that she wanted us to cover a lake monster. So,
wait, people are letting their children listen to us?
I was just thinking the same thing.
Well,
bro.
I wouldn't say all the episodes.
I've cussed 17 times this episode alone.
So I don't think she's going to listen to this episode. I have it on very good account that it is filtered before the kid listens.
Isn't Pepe the frog from 4chan?
Sure. But this is Pepe, not Pepe.
Oh.
Yeah. Pepe. Pepe, the monster of Lake Pepin.
Wait, so should we start
censoring
ourselves so little kids can listen? Like if we have a...
No.
I censor myself.
This is somebody I have
redacted statement from Jake.
I have talked to mom and mom said that she's allowed to listen to the documentary episodes. So
we were not talking about like prison pockets and stuff like that.
Correct.
Right.
And when I had talked to mom, I was like, dang, you know, we covered Ogopogo and a couple other, you know, Loch Ness and stuff. And I was like, Ogopogo might be okay, but I think Loch Ness, I think that probably wouldn't be a good one for them to listen to. I said, I got a question. Yeah.
When you were doing the episode on the ranch, Stardust Ranch, towards the end of it, you said something and I wanted to confirm what you said. Cause I listened to it a few times. I was like, I think this is what he said, that the wife was kidnapped several times.
Yeah, and that is her.
I thought she was levitated several times and only kidnapped once, like when they put her through the wall.
No, at the end of the episode, I had made mention that I didn't cover stuff from other sources, including his wife. His wife also, at the end of his book, wrote a small chapter about her own experiences. And there was mention of her being kidnapped by alien beings and raped. Yes.
Huh.
Oh.
So to go back to your other question,
but you said that the Greys didn't have genitals.
Didn't say that it was exactly the Greys that took her. Hmm. Anyways, Jeff.
I was thinking about getting Dave Sheely on next season.
I don't know who that is, but yeah, do it.
The Bigfoot guy, bro.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
Well, now he's not going to come on because you said that. He's going to be
like, so Bigfoot didn't know who that was. Yeah, now he's not going to come on. You better edit that part out.
Why didn't you pronunciate, man?
God damn it.
Of course I know who that is.
Yeah.
I want to know what Jake was planning to do now.
I don't want to tell you. Because you're going to make fun of me.
You got to bring it up. You make fun of me 17 times a day.
I do, saying that you had a face for podcasting, all that stuff. Sheep Squatch. Right.
What?
Sheep Squatch.
Sheep Squatch.
Nice. You better do it right.
Well, I mean, I'm going to present it.
Yeah, you better do it right. Good.
Dude, I'll just halfway the whole thing just because you said that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's going to be a fun episode for you at least to research. We did an episode on that on Cryptotechnical years ago. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can't find it anymore because we took it all down. But it's a fun story.
If it was up, I would literally verbatim say the exact same thing and put it out on here and be like, did my research, did listen, all of
if
it.
If you verbatimed anything we did on Cryptid Technical, Jeremy would never upload it as an Infinite Rabbit Hole episode.
I'd buy myself that shirt that says I was censored on Infinite Rabbit Hole.
All right, guys, we got to cut it here. I'm getting yelled at and have to go do dad stuff.
Yeah, it's past my bedtime.
I didn't get to tell what I was going to do.
What are you going
to
do?
What are you going to do?
The Shakespeare conspiracy, the anti-Shakespeare theory.
Well, I gave you guys so much time to talk about it. You were like, nah.
Everybody else talked. I was waiting. I was because I talked a lot.
We just spend the whole time interrupting each other. I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
The Shakespeare conspiracy is going to be great because that's going to be the first historical conspiracy that we get into.
The Shakespeare didn't actually exist.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I mean, obviously.
Yeah, you didn't know Shakespeare was fake?
All right, guys. Well, that has been another episode of the Infinite Rabbit Hole podcast. We'll see you next week when we cover Pepe, the lake monster of Lake Pepin. And we'll talk to you again in another 3 months when we do the next wrap-up. Until next time, travelers, we'll see you in the next fork in the path of the Infinite Rabbit Hole. Bye.
Bye.
All I got to say it. Say it.
Oh, bye.
All right, there you go.
Say it, Jeff.
Hasta luego.
There you go.
I would like to thank you once again for tuning in to the Infinite Rabbit Hole podcast. Please make sure to give us a follow and one of those beautiful 5-star ratings on your podcast player of choice. If you would like to join the conversation and stay up to date on all things Infinite Rabbit Hole, head on over to Facebook and search for the Infinite Rabbit Hole Facebook group. You'll know it's us when you see the logo. If you would like to help contribute to the cause, there are a few ways to do so. First, head on over to anchor.fm/infinite rabbit hole and click on the subscribe button, where for $5 a month you'll get access to all our old episodes that will never see the free spotlight ever again. It's horrible stuff, but if you're into that kind of thing, then go check it out. Second, head on over to infiniterabbithole.com and click on the IRH merch shop tab and grab yourself a sweet t-shirt, sticker, or whatever else you see that you wouldn't mind owning. Until next time, travelers, I'm Jeremy, and I'll see you at the next fork in the path of the Infinite Rabbit Hole. Bye.